Every episode thus far for this podcast has an intro that features the sounds you're currently hearing. Do you know what that sound is? It's a sound that's been heard for many years, decades even. It's a group of Cheta players making their way onto the field for Ishtaboli, or Kapucha. You may know that as Choctaw Stickball.
Ashkahoma from Choctaw Nation.
Stickball, if you're unfamiliar with the sport, is played with two hand-shaven sticks that have cups formed at the end. You use a leather-woven ball and try to hit the opponent's goalpost. While that may sound simple enough, it's not. Ishtaboli means little brother of war. It was a game that was used to settle disputes in avoidance of going into all-out war. Today, modern stickball has rules to keep players safe. However, the traditional game our ancestors played did not, and people died. Despite the physical nature of stickball, the sport is currently experiencing a resurgence, and it's looking like it's going to be played for many more generations to come. I'm Joseph Jefferson, and you're listening to Anopoly. Alito, and welcome. You are listening to the official podcast of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma, Anopoly.
The history of Choctaw stickball goes way back.
This is Les Williston. He's played stickball since he was a kid, and he's currently the coach of Tuscahoma.
I've been here with Team Tuscahoma since its inception. Team Tuscahoma comprises all of Choctaw Nation. So a few other tribal peoples from other places, from all over Oklahoma and other states as well.
I can honestly say that the team is more or less a family. It's more, those are my brothers, no matter what. I can call on them and ask them for help, and they'll more than likely help me any way they can.
That was Jeremy Opie Baker. He has played stickball for several years for Team Tuscahoma.
Long, long time ago, back in the ancient times, we lived in the Deep South. In the Deep South, there were many other tribes living all around us and scattered all down through the South. The territories were permanent. The villages were permanent. We lived in our own areas. Each village had its own hierarchy, peace chiefs, war chiefs, councils. One major part of the Southeastern culture is the heads of the clans, who were in charge of what went on around the village. They were in charge. And the heads of the clans were the grandmothers, the clan mothers. Most of the tribes in the South were like that. So to go to war, it was a decision that wasn't made lightly. I mean, you're taking young warriors, and many of the warriors, some of our best warriors, were teenagers. In order to go to war, war chiefs had to get the okay, had to get the blessing from the clan mothers. So that decision rested among them, because it's their grandbabies you're taking to war. Down in the South, in ancient times, they devised this way to settle a lot of the disputes. Disputes over hunting areas, territories, or there's any, as you know, as we all know, you get two human beings together, sooner or later there's gonna be a fight. So a lot of disputes were handled over a stickball game rather than going to war. But stickball back in those days was a whole lot rougher than it is today. Today we have a few rules to protect the players. Back then, there weren't any rules. A lot of people got hurt and a few got killed. But that's still better than you losing hundreds and hundreds in a fight, in a war.
That is why Choctaw stickball is often referred to as little brother of war. According to at least one oral tradition, it was created by a Cheta man named Moshalika. Stickball is described in some written accounts of Cheta communities that date back to the French period, and it appears by that point that the game had already been part of Cheta life for a very long time. Ishtaboli is similar to the stickball games played by most of the southeastern tribes, and are part of a much wider tradition of ball and stick games shared by tribes all the way up into Canada. For contrast, the traditional game from the Iroquois, known commonly as lacrosse, features a single bent hand-shaped wooden stick with a handmade netting. They too also throw a handmade ball into a target.
Villages, other tribes, other clans from all over would gather together for one of those huge games. Sometimes there were hundreds of ball players out there playing on the field. And there's some reports of some goals being 5 miles apart with hundreds of ball players.
In the past, the two communities would make camp on opposite sides of the stickball field, bringing their own fires. Families often kept their children away from the game area for fear that medicine cast by the opposing team could cause them harm. Days preceding the game, players would participate in a fast. The night before the game, they would be under the care of the team's elikchi, which means doctor. Players would ingest herbs or prepare their bodies, and then prayers would be offered to the players. Then a stickball dance was usually held in preparation for the game.
There would be huge dances going on, the ceremonial dances. They had medicine men working medicine all over the place, trying to help their players along, trying to help their team along. There was a lot of ceremony, a lot of medicine flying around when there was a serious stickball game going on.
And there's stories date back 250 years, you know, where it may be village against village or just tribe against tribe.
This is Dwayne Hornbuckle. He has been a stickball player for years, and he's currently a coach for the Choctaw Nation Youth League.
It's still a lot more civil way than war was to settle disputes.
Two documented instances exist of the Choctaw and Muscogee, that's Creek, attempting to use a stickball game to settle land disputes around the last decade of the 1700s. One of these disputes was over a beaver pond located near the Nuxtabee River in what is now Mississippi. The other, a strip of land between the Tongbigbee and the Black Warrior Rivers in what is now Alabama. However, both of these stickball games were highly contested and eventually evolved into actual battles.
It's different because now it's just a competition. It does keep the tradition alive, and at the core, you know, you still don't want to lose. You still want to win. You still want to have that pride to say, we beat you, we're better than you. Along with that is, you know, respect for tradition, respect for your other players.
The points was decided upon where they, when they reach a certain point, that was the end of the game, and the decision was final. And since everybody got together over the course of several councils, got together and set the parameters.
Stickball games were and are major community events, and a great deal of preparation usually accompanies them. Traditionally, they were arranged to coincide with the full moon of the summer months. The games often accompany diplomatic meetings, and some have even said to settle disputes between Choctaw communities.
That's the way they handled a lot of the disputes down in the southeast. And that is also why they call it Little Brother of War. Because instead of going to battle, we played ball. That's another good way a young native boy would distinguish himself as a warrior, as being an excellent ball player. They would strive to be the best ball player out there.
I play stickball because it connects me with my culture.
You are currently listening to Ryan Spring. He plays stickball and is currently in the Historic Preservation Department of the Choctaw Nation.
I think it's important to, it's always been an important game all through our history. You know, at first it was there to settle disputes. Then it moved to more of just kind of like a social, you know, game to keep the community together. But then now we've converted it to a sport, and it's a hardcore sport. And we still play it with the same vigor and passion that we've done in the past, we still do today. So it's important to our culture, and it's important to our identity as who we are as Choctaw people.
Choctaw stickball features a single hard leather wrap ball known as a tua. In the past, a buckskin covered ball was made with a center of hard clay, a round stone, or a tightly wadded piece of deer hide. Today the ball center is made from a tape ball or a ping pong ball base, then wrapped in tape, then leather woven. Sometimes paracord is even used for practice purposes because it's softer and more durable than the hardened game version. The ball is thrown, caught, or picked up by the two sticks, or capucha. The Cheta Capucha stand out among other sticks made by other tribes by having a handle with a square or rectangle cross section and a cup that flares outwards toward the front. Although other woods can be used, hickory is the choice of hardwood.
Hickory is the most dominant, most common piece of wood that we use, and it's a lot durable and strong.
You are listening to Brenner Billy, a third generation stick maker and stickball player.
So when we look on the outside of the tree, you want to make sure there's not too many knots like this at the trunk. If there's not too many of them on the trunk of the tree, then we try to take that.
And you only got a handful of stickball makers in Oklahoma, you know, compared to everybody that you have dozens of them in Mississippi.
This is Brian Motley Billy. He is Brenner's father, and he's a second generation stickball maker and player.
What got me motivated was I had a bad grade in history. And so I had to make something dealing with my culture or dealing with Native American stuff. And that's when I made my first pair of sticks. Yeah, I got an A. And I've been doing it ever since, you know, and that's what got me going. But before then, yeah, I had seen the guys that I call elders now. They're about 10, 20 years, 15 years older than me, and they made sticks. Uncles, my great uncle. So yeah, it's just been handed down. And that's who we learned off was my great uncle, Clellan Billy.
I'd played since I was 12 years old, the adult game. I was a big boy. In the Brooklynville community, we always had, you know, this dancing, social dancing, doing that expressive culture. But we decided to do more whenever Dad, he was working in Brooklynville. He started to have us practice stickball because sometimes we would play, you know, rugby-style football, and sometimes some of us would get hurt. And I think Dad was saying, well, if y'all want to play something, y'all play stickball. And so that I'll get you ready for the next year or something, you know, that kind of mentality. And so we started playing, and it was just something to do for us to stay active. And also it was just, you know, at that time it was something different, but we didn't realize what we were doing was, you know, impact a lot of people today.
And then on top of that, even when I was young growing up, nobody my age wanted to play. None of my friends, you know, they were seen it as a vicious game, you know, and well, you have a lot more rules nowadays compared to then, you know. If you wasn't looking, you got hit, you got hit. You know, that's, I guess, the warrior mentality of it, of playing stickball, you know, it is called Little Brother of War, and we all learn from it at all different ages. There's several kids that graduated with him or above him, below him. They know how to make sticks, they just don't have time, and it is a process, you know. It takes, if you got the time, you can make them. Sometimes you can learn by watching people or try it out for yourself, because, you know, we need just as much stick makers as we do stickball players. Yeah, there is a sense of, it's artwork, I guess. You know, there's a sense of pride when you do make them.
The actual handcraftness, or craftiness and style of doing it by hand is just so much more, in depth of how you feel about the sticks and the game itself, because, you know, whenever I make it, you know, I just think about, you know, my dad teaching me, then how much we've grown from then to there, then how much I, you know, reminisce, or I would think, you know, what they did in the past.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you have that connection to your root or to your ancestors, just that, you know, they started at one journey, part of the journey, but now we're here, but we're still going on. And so it's just very, you know, humbling. It really is. I keep that with me all the time.
The two sticks are made to fit the left and right hand with one size larger than the other. The larger stick, or male, is used for catching the ball, while the smaller stick, or female, is used for throwing the ball. To many Cheta, the ball is considered the child of the male and female sticks. The game itself, if you will, represents the Cheta family structure and has been used as a basic teaching aid.
You know, it's a great, you know, feeling. You know, it's godsend, or, you know, whatever you feel, it's your spirituality that goes with it. Just something that comes from the earth, or something that's from nature.
been playing stickball since probably 5 years old, and I always seen these kids playing ball. And when I got to the age limit, you know, it was kind of interesting to not only play, but also try to give some kind of knowledge that I have back to the kids. So that was just my way of giving back to the community and to the kids.
That was Elijah Jimmy, a player and youth stickball coach for Bokchido, a community-based team in Mississippi.
I play with the 35 and over division and the regular adults. It's going on 20 years now as far as playing in the 18 and over division. And it's going to be my fourth year in the 35 and over division. There's that saying about stickball makes football, rugby, lacrosse, and all that look like a wimps game, and that's true. I mean, you don't know it until you're actually out here watching it or actually playing it. So it's the oldest field sport in America. It beats any kind of sports.
In the past, the only rules were that players could not touch the ball with their hands and that they could not headbutt each other. Fatalities, however, were common in those early games, hence the name Little Brother of War. Traditionally, women helped the male players from the sideline, which means whipping the players with cane switches to help them get sucked up and maintain their mental edge throughout the game. In modern stickball, rules about blocking and tackling have been added to protect the players, but broken bones and other injuries still happen.
Medic! Medic on the field! Medic! Medic on the field! Time out!
Even after a vicious hit, players are expected to jump up and keep playing. Showing weakness to an opposing team is seen as a loss of one's dignity. Cheta stickball players are also trained to keep their cool on the field, and fights are much less common than they are in any current mainstream sport. Thankfully, the whipping for mental edge readiness hasn't been brought to the modern game.
It's intense. It's kind of like a moment to yourself right before the game starts. You walk on the field, there's a lot of cheering. You get your lineup and you run to your position, and right before the ball's first thrown up, there's just this moment that everything goes still, everything goes quiet. And you have that moment to reflect in yourself, and then it's just like a car crash. That ball goes up.
And the ball is up. Game between Warriors and Tuscaloosa is on the way. First quarter.
And the intensity hits, and it doesn't stop until you get back to, until the game's over.
These days, we play a tournament style, 30 on 30. The goalposts are a football field apart, 100 yards.
Being on the field is pretty intense.
You are listening to Kerry Willis.
I don't know how to describe it. It's just one of those things that you can do like skydiving or something. You never really don't know how to do it until you're actually out there. You know, it gives you a sense of pride because a lot of people don't do it.
Your team and the other team are tied up and you're desperately trying to get that final point. And then when you finally get that final point, everyone
should. You are currently listening to Amber Reedy. She plays stickball with Lady Tuscaloosa.
It's one of the good moments of stickball. Working hard, trying to finally get that point. And it just proves that if you work hard enough, you'll succeed.
It gets a little aggressive, especially out in Mississippi, but it's a fun game, you know. Just like any other sport, it's going to be a contact sport.
This is Shelby Factor. She plays for Chikashatoli, as well as Buck Buck, their youth team.
I know as much about my culture, like both tribes. Like I'm both Choctaw and Creek. That's what my sticks are for. I have Creek Lacey, but they're originally Choctaw sticks. And you know, originally it's against the Creek culture to play for women to play, but I'm mostly Choctaw, so I went ahead and played.
I also had women playing. Women had their own teams. They played, women played against women, and they used sticks back then too. There's several accounts of Choctaws and other tribes playing against each other. Men would play, and then the women would play.
I got to tell my friends about it and other people, and the game gives me confidence of telling people that, yeah, I play this game. And it's like, you should try it.
There was one conflict with between us and the Creeks. The ball game was played, didn't come to a satisfactory ending. So the women played that game, and the Choctaw women won that one and settled that dispute.
I see myself continuing on playing the rest of my life. really. I love stickball with a passion. And I love the people around me in that who share my passion with it. So I want to continue on playing as long as I can.
When you see these younger kids coming up and they, you know, they admire what you're doing and they love what you're doing and, you know, they want to do it too. And they want to continue the tradition that a lot of people started back in Oklahoma.
I think a lot of our younger kids hadn't really been part of a traditional team, you know, softball, basketball, baseball. So it gives them a chance to get to be included as a team. We always bring a tent, we always bring food, so we kind of eat together, stuff like that. When we go on trips to tournaments, we go in a bus, so it gives them kind of a sense of being part of a family, of a team maybe they hadn't had before.
I feel really honored to become the next generation for the adult stickball.
You're listening to Gabriel Rusher.
Ever since my grandpa's dad, he's been playing stickball since they were little kids. Everything, that's how they've been brought up, playing stickball, and they just pass it on to the next generation. And for my dad, he talked me into it. Yeah, I didn't know what it was until I found it. Some couple of friends in school who played it and said, hey, come on out.
Okay.
So I gone out there and honestly, I fell in love with it.
After the Trail of Tears, there was stickball played here. Stickball played here all the way up into the 1900s. There's pictures we got hanging on the walls back here of games in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. There's pictures of Choctaws playing stickball. Some areas banned stickball. And areas that were run by Puritan Christians. We banned the game for its revelry, for the excitement, and for the fact that some people got hurt playing this game. The state of Oklahoma banned stickball, and also a lot of our ceremonial dances were banned. Ceremonial practices were banned. The Choctaws haven't been doing it since the 1930s. I think it was the last ceremonial ground shut down here.
A game between the Chutta and Jacosha in Oklahoma in 1903 led to a massive brawl that had to be broken up by federal marshals and the Light Horsemen. Thereafter, stickball was officially banned in southeastern Oklahoma, but they continued to play the national sport anyway, which obviously was a good thing because the game may have only become an oral tradition today.
The time I was growing up and playing, a lot of times it was close to, we'd be lucky if we had 30 on the field per team. Nobody plays stickball anymore, and I would tell them stories about it, and so they all wanted to play, wanted to see what it was like. And it was a growing process, you know. It wasn't something they just picked up sticks and learned how to do. You know, it took them a while to learn how to play. It takes a village to raise a child. It's the same way with a team. It takes a community to build that up, because if you don't, the way it is going today with the vast amount of sports you can play in school, in high school, you know, you get football, you get basketball and everything else, but it's hard to keep up with a traditional game. And I think they feel more of a sense of being belonging to something, because everybody that plays, they just really enjoy it. It ain't so much of the hurting and the hitting, it's more of, you know, it's something that's theirs, you know, that they've always had instilled in them throughout life. You never know. It's like waking a sleeping giant, you know. You wake up and all of a sudden, hey, I want to do this. If we don't do what we need to do to keep it going, which would be practicing, playing, having community support, tribal support, you know, it will be like it did there for the 80s, I guess. You know, there were, you know, it just went away, you know, for a while. It always was played at Tuskahoma as an exhibition game, but, you know, it was never nothing major like it is now.
6 years ago, we started Team Tuskahoma. Team Tuskahoma got together specifically to go play in the tournament in Mississippi.
The game of stickball is a whole lot different than any other sport, especially coming down to here, to what we call homeland here we play this game not for anything else, but the honor in it is so overwhelming. You know, most of us play for so much more than just ourselves.
This is Jared Pinty Tom. He has been playing stickball since he was a kid.
I mean, the team, you know, you represent Choctaw Nation, you represent Tuskahoma. When I step on that field, to me, it goes beyond that. I play to represent my family back home, loved ones, lost loved ones. But stepping on the field here is a lot different because this is closer to where we originally come from. So it's a different feeling.
Playing in Mississippi, this is our homeland. I mean, this is where, you know, the Creator created us. This is where, you know, this is where we've always lived. So coming back to get to play in our homeland, it's powerful. But you have teams that get to do that every day. And you're coming up against teams that have been playing since, you know, their kids are the age of 4 or 6. And, you know, we're coming into that and we're competing with teams that have been playing for 20 plus years.
Being here in the homeland, it's almost you feel like you're running with your ancestors. It feels like you're close in tune with everybody else. For me, I have to get psyched out, psych myself up probably about 2 hours prior before a game where I'm alone, trying to gather myself and step on the field. I block everything out and it's just focused straight on the game.
I play stickball because it connects me with my culture. It's always been an important game all through our history. You know, at first it was there to settle disputes. Then it moved to more of just kind of like a social, you know, game to keep the community together. But then now we've converted it to a sport, and it's a hardcore sport. And we still play it with the same vigor and passion that we've done in the past. It's important to our culture, and it's important to our identity as who we are as Choctaw people.
You know, our history part of us, you know, being removed to Oklahoma, For many years, there was a gap in between of culturally in tune what was here. But coming back here, I guess you could say emotional. You get the emotional feeling because of, you know, what had happened here. And coming to homeland, coming back here, it's a placement of, like, you know, this is where we belong. This is our area. This is our home too. So coming back here is a good feeling. It's a real good feeling.
As a Choctaw Warriors out there playing ball, you hear the crowd yelling and screaming out there. You're out there. You got desperation, you got exhilaration, anxiety, and all of that happening to you, you know, within a split second throughout the whole game, things are happening like that. It's a sacred ceremony in itself that brings that blood and that sweat and the tears that we spill on this ground. It calls our ancestors to us. It calls our ancestors here. They know what's going on when they see us playing ball. And they come along. And in that roar from the crowd, that deafening roar that you hear in your ears when you're out there playing ball in the heat of a battle, that is your ancestors urging you on too. You hear their screams from the ancient times. It's really a sacred time. It's really a sacred feeling. And it's what we'd like, to instill in our young people. I said, this isn't just a sport. I mean, this is sacred. This is a sacred movement. It's a sacred dance.
Just from seeing from my perspective, the game is really growing in Oklahoma. We're growing it here too, and it's not at the maturity level yet at Oklahoma, but you can still see the love. There's no difference in that. Both Oklahoma and Choctaw have that love for the game, the passion for it, so there's no difference in that one. But as far as the experience part, I guess you can say Mississippi, since we've been playing a long time, we have the experience. But they're growing though at Oklahoma, and the love and passion is there. So they're getting there. I think they're almost at that cusp where they'll have a championship team soon.
I'm very happy about the way things have developed when it comes to bringing our culture back. We've got a lot of people dancing. We've got a lot of people coming together to play stickball. We got a lot further to go to reviving our culture. We've got a long ways to go, and we ain't stopping here. We got a lot to do. We're gonna keep on going, and hopefully we're gonna have more and more kids signing up for stickball for next season, and we're just gonna keep growing. These kids go through stickball camp. They play stickball for the youth league. When they turn 18, they'll be playing stickball for the teams. We're really doing well when it comes to stickball. I'm really proud of that.
Well, that's what our hope was, to that the youth players would mature, graduate out of the youth league, and then play with Tuskahoma, whether it be co-ed, men's team, or now that we have a women's team. And we're starting to see a little bit of results of that. You know, we have a handful of players that have graduated out of youth league that play with us when we play co-ed. This next season will be probably the first year when we actually have players that contribute to the team that started out in youth league.
So when we started Team Tuskahoma, we began to put together families. We got Choctaw families coming together. I like to say that we're a family of families, because we have Choctaw people sitting next to other Choctaw people. Huge Choctaw families sitting next to each other in the stands, watching their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and nieces and nephews and cousins all playing ball. We've got over 100 ball players playing for Team Tuskahoma, over 500 youth playing stickball. These kids are the children and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren of the people who came across the Trail of Tears. And now we have them all playing ball together out here on the stickball field. These kids are gonna know each other all their lives. And hopefully their grandchildren will be out here playing stickball. And so as a community building effort, this has been a great success. We pulled a lot of our families together. A lot of our people are coming together again. And that's something I'm really proud to be, even to be a small part of.
In 1899, Horatio Cushman predicted that the game of Chutta stickball would be dead. Although its future may have looked in doubt at times, he was very wrong. The ancient, passionate game is rapidly growing in its resurgence in various Chutta communities, both in Oklahoma and Mississippi. Even smaller Chutta communities throughout the U.S. are picking up the game and getting involved in this active cultural preservation. It looks as if the game will battle for its territory in time for generations to come, always reminding everyone, Ishtaboli is the little brother of war. Thank you for listening to Anopoli, the official podcast of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. Please subscribe to our podcast wherever available, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Choctaw Nation OK. The Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma makes no warranty, guarantee, or representation as to the accuracy or sufficiency of the information featured in this podcast. The information, opinions, views, and recommendations presented in this podcast are that of the guest and or speaker, and are for informational and educational purposes only. Any reliance on the information is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. If advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought. The Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma does not endorse, approve, recommend, or certify any information, product, process, service, or organization mentioned in this podcast. Moreover, the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma makes no warranty that this podcast or the server that makes it available is free of viruses, worms, or other elements or codes that manifest contaminating or destructive properties.